Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back, everybody, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 31 for January the 14th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack. Please check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and where you can comment on these shows. Also, you can leave us voicemail if you have some ideas for some future shows at 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, you can also email me those at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Also, if you get a chance, please follow me on Twitter, and that is at Technoman. You can also sign up for future newsletters, which I don't really know what that looks like, but it is at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. I do want to introduce our live chat. We do have a live chat feature now. It seems like a lot of broadcasters are doing this, and a lot of people seem to enjoy it. So live chat is up. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click on the radio show, you can actually click on either the pop-out chat or use the chat right underneath of the listening box. So you have two ways of doing it there. We are not using the chat on Spreaker at this time. We are trying to use just an IRC chat. So if you have a client or whatever, and I know there's some pretty good IRC clients for your cell phones, if you're listening to this on your phone, you can still manage to get into the chat and talk to us there, and we'd like to hear from you. Tonight's beer, let you know what we're drinking here in the studio. Tonight I'm drinking a Blue Moon, and this is a Belgium White. It's a Belgium-style wheat ale. It's a very, very light beer. It doesn't have a whole lot of body, and it doesn't have a whole lot of taste. So I don't know if I'd recommend this to any listeners out there, but it is kind of wet, and it does keep the vocal cords moving on. Yep, not that bad of a taste. It's really, really light. Anyhow, let's get moving on with the show this evening. Tonight we're going to be talking about, and you may want to do this, and you may not. You might be saying, Jack, why would you want to do that? I'm going to try to put it into some perspectives for you. I do have a listener's email I'm going to read here. We should get time to do that this evening. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the email, and I think it's a wonderful topic and something I know a lot of new technologists out there. If you're kind of new to the field, you may be looking for this exact answer yourself. So in tonight's show, we're going to learn how to install Apache, MySQL, and PHP onto our Windows server. Now, why do we want to install these onto our Windows server? Windows server already has IIS, is that correct? Internet Information Services, which we know that serves up web pages and does a really good job at it. But it doesn't serve up PHP scripting pages. And if you're an old hack, an old programmer like me that likes to work on things on the side and do a little programming work, I've written a lot of PHP. And I suggest if you've never written PHP, take the time to learn it. It took me about a weekend to pick it up and start writing PHP code. So it's not real hard to learn. And maybe I'll be able to get some stuff together and pull up on our website there so you guys can have some of my sample code and download it and do whatever you want to with it. Play with it, rewrite it, do whatever you want to make it your own. That's fine. But what I did was I wrote a program in Visual Studio to inventory all of our computers and do all that nice stuff there that you need to do when you run a network, right? I keep track of notes in the software and all this different stuff. I wrote the software to do that. What I found was when we were away from our computers and if we'd work on a help desk ticket, there was no way to update that ticket until we came back to our office and sat back at our PC. So I noticed that, I noticed that some PHP scripting would be a good idea, be a perfect way to be able to bring up the web page and have that PHP page connected through the MySQL that I used for the backend database and be able to update those tickets wherever we're at any computer. And it worked perfectly. Now, there's also other reasons you may want to have MySQL on your server, or you might just want to run an Apache web server just to kind of learn a little bit about Apache and PHP and MySQL and MyPHP. I think that's very critical to know this kind of stuff, especially if you're going to be running a network. So many times in our field, we run into this problem, and I see a lot of new college graduates come through internships with us, and they're very focused on Windows only. And if we lived in a Windows-only world, it would be a very dull world to live in. Now, somebody made the statement to me just today or the other day that I don't think Jack likes Microsoft. Well, let me tell you, and I tell everybody this, Bill Gates has made me a lot of money in my lifetime. I mean, not a millionaire by any means, but Bill Gates has made me a lot of money in working with Windows, fixing computers that have Windows on it, scanning for spyware, and all the cool stuff we get to do as technologists, right? And I've got to learn a lot about Microsoft. So why would I not like Microsoft? It's just you have to expand yourself. Did you ever hear in college they said they wanted you to be a well-rounded person? Now, that doesn't mean go to the bistro, you know, and eat a bunch of food and eat a bunch of pizzas late at night, 3 a.m. while you're cramming for those finals to be a well-rounded person. No, well-rounded means, especially in the technology field, and I teach to my folks coming in, because the school they're coming from that they come to us from the college is a 2-year program, and they primarily, almost all 100% learn Windows. They might have a week of Linux in there, but it's just an introduction week. They didn't really learn anything about it, and I think that's kind of criminal. So if you're going to school and all they're teaching you about is Microsoft Windows and server, step back a little bit. Now, if you're using it in your network, fine, but be prepared out there to do a little bit more. Like, we have a lot now in our school. We have a lot of iPads coming in. We have Kindle devices that we deal with. We have Android devices coming through that we work with and deal with. And the learning the Apache thing was just something else that I wanted to know because I didn't want to spend a ton of money to have Microsoft SQL. Although if you do have that, don't run away and say, oh, Jack hates Microsoft SQL. That's not the case at all. The thing is I want to be able to have you learn a little bit about everything. I think that's critical. You have to know a little bit about everything. Did you ever hear the old saying, the jack of all trades, the master of none? Well, we have to be the jack of all trades and the master of many, right? That's kind of what we have to do. So anyway, today we're going to go ahead and we're going to install these services on top of our Windows 2012 server. Now, it'll also work on 2003. We have it running at the school on 2008, 2003. It ran on before. It'll run on your 2000 servers if I hope that you're not running those any longer. It will work on there also. All you have to do is go to www.wampserver.com/, and then pretty much whatever language you speak, because they cover just about every language possible. Now, what you're going to want to do before you download this software is you're going to click on the download link, but you got to make sure you know what your server is. And you may or may not, because sometimes we install the 32-bit operating system on server. We hope that you install the 64-bit, but sometimes we get quick or fast or sloppy. We just click yes, 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 and next thing you know, we have a 32-bit server running with all of our stuff on it. But if you're running a 64-bit server, then that's the way you should be running things on your network. But know which one you have because you have to download the proper install of WAMP server, W-A-M-P server, WAMP. Now, with that said, you will first come up and you're going to have to download something else. It's going to say, wait, you have to download this package to make this work. And all it is, it's a Visual C++ 2010 Service Pack 1 redistributable package for x86 and x64 systems. So for 64 and 32-bit systems. These are just runtimes, folks. I mean, we install runtimes on servers for everything. Don't think you're hurting your server by any means. It's just something you need because the WAMP services apparently was written in Visual C++. And it wants to make sure that you have all the proper libraries installed on your server to run this stuff. So it's very easy. It's a very quick and painless install. I did in about 30 seconds. All right. Now, we're going to walk through the install and configuration of these programs. I'm also going to tell you where the web pages will go if you want to stick some web pages on your Apache server. Actually, one server we have, we actually set up as Apache and we never installed IIS on it because we... What happens is when you have two different web servers running on one server, they could both fight for port 80. So some of your pages will be served up on your regular port 80, and some of the pages can be served up on port 8080 or 8181 or whatever you may make the other port number, and it gets really, really confusing. So I like to have one web server or service running on any particular server. All right, I'm going to minimize my show notes here, and I'm going to go right into my server. We are working with a Windows 2012 server, as I told you before. And I first installed the runtime, because the runtime was the first thing to put on, was the C++ Visual Runtimes. Now I have my WAMP server 2.4 I download. That's the newest version. And it's the 64-bit version. We're going to run it as administrator. I just like to do that, even though I'm logged as administrator. So if you right-click on the package, just run as administrator. And leave it installed to its default path, unless you have more than one hard drive. If you listen to my podcast where I talked about creating web pages and web services and using IIS, if you listen to that, you will find that I talked about never installing your web pages on the root of your hard drive where your Windows installation is. I believe this is key for hackers, right? We don't want people to hack our systems or anything like that. So what you want to make sure is you're able to load this thing on another hard drive if possible. Now mine, I have one hard drive in this particular server because this server I'm running this on is naturally a virtual server, and I suggest you have these when you play with this kind of stuff to kind of build, learn about it a little bit before you put it into production. Unless you live on the edge, a lot of times the folks I have working for me say, Jack, you live on the edge, because we'll take a disk and we'll upgrade a server. And they said, did you test this yet in the testing environment? And sometimes you just have to go for the gusto. And I know you're out there right now cringing your teeth and you're pounding your desk going, Jack, you would never do that. Depends on what kind of production environment you have. If I have a web server and I'm going to upgrade it, let it rip and upgrade it to the next version or whatever you want to do with it. Because you know what? It's not a critical system if you're just running your office's web pages on it. So upgrade it and see what happens. Maybe not your Active Domain, your Active Directory domain, but hey, anything else is good to go. So anyway, we're going to install this to C:, and it's WAMP, W-A-M-P. Hit next. Do I want a desktop icon or a quick launch icon? We're going to throw a desktop icon up just to have it for now. We can always delete it later. And now we are installing the packages onto our computer. And again, if you're just joining the channel here on Spreaker and you're listening live, if you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, you can very, very easily chat with us. And we'd love to have you in there. Now what you're going to do is you're going to come up here with the setup. Okay, the first thing it's going to set up is the PHP mail parameters. The SMTP, you can put in here. And if you use Google Apps, you can put the SMTP mail server as the Google app server. You can find all the information on Google. Your email address, you can put that in there. So we'll put my email address in here. And there we go. And we'll hit next. And it says launch WAMP server 2 now. That's what we want to do. So let's click finish and we're going to go ahead and launch it. When you do launch it, you're going to actually have a small W down in your system tray. That's kind of where it resides. And if I right-click on it, I have a couple things in there like languages, exit, about, and refresh. But if I left-click on it, I have all my tools in here. So I left-clicked on the icon in the system tray, and I got my different tools in here, such as localhost, PHP MyAdmin, we talked about that, your www directory. Now this is something I wanted to clarify with you and tell you about. The www directory, or the World Wide Web directory for your Apache server, is located on your C drive, and believe it or not, it's under the WAMP directory, or wherever you did that install. So wherever this initial install is going to, let's say you pull on your D drive or an E drive or wherever, because you listened to Jack and you said, hey, Jack said that we should not have this on the root. We're going to put this on another hard drive in the system and keep it away from our Windows installation. By all means, you can do that. And that is where your www directory would be. This is where your web pages go. So the first web page with Apache, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'll throw it out there for you first of all. The web page itself for the web pages itself for IIS is what? Do you know that? What's the first web page in IIS? You're right. If you're saying default.html, you are exactly right. That is the first page for a Microsoft IIS install for the default web page. Now, what would it be in Apache or on Linux or Unix? Because this is what you're doing, folks. Apache, remember, is a primarily a Linux or a Unix-based system. But you're running it on top of Windows because you are brave. You know, I would rather run this stuff on a Linux server. But if I'm not really in tune with Linux and in touch, and most of us aren't, and that's okay. But your initial web page for Linux or Unix or the Apache web server is index.htm. That would be your first primary page is index.htm. And close that out. All right. Now, if you clicked on localhost PHP admin, it's saying nothing's coming up. And the reason that is because we don't have the Apache service running. So we're going to left click on that little icon again in your systems taskbar or your system tray, and we're going to click on Start All Services. And I do like to go to my notification area, and I like to actually set these up so that the bar itself is showing at all times. The little W is showing, because when you want to get it to go online, let's see here. We didn't start the services yet. Let's see if we can get Apache started. It might need to have a reboot to get started. We might want to do that. Yes, at that point, it just keeps stopping. And that could be, I'm going to check now, because I believe that the issue here could be what I talked to you about earlier, was we talked about the different parts of Apache, in that I may actually had IIS installed on this because we've been using this computer to teach with for a certain amount of time here. So we're going to see if we do have it loaded and running. We're going to have a look here real quick for services. In the meantime, folks, I hope you're picking up something this evening in this class. A lot of people tell me that they pick up something little each class, and I think that's very important. It's something you should be able to do, is pick something up. And we are going to go into services here and just see if my IIS web services is running, because that will stop your services from running, and it is. The World Wide Web services are running, so I'm going to stop it. And then I'm going to relaunch and try to get my Apache web services running. And now they are running. Now remember what I told you. If you have that port 80 used already, if port 80 is taken up, then your Apache web server isn't going to start because it sees something is already running on that port. And that's why it didn't want to start. And when it doesn't start, it'll be a color W. It'll be anything other than green. Yellow is like there's a issue somewhere with the services. Red is, hey, nothing started. And a green icon in your system's tray tells you that it has started. And now if we click on PHP admin, it's going to ask us for a login. And we're going to put in here admin. Just put admin in with no password. And it's going to take you right into PHP admin. Now, you might be saying, Jack, what is PHP admin? Why do I need to worry about this? Well, most people host their servers or services, web services or web hosts, with either 1in1.com or with GoDaddy.com. Now, with GoDaddy.com, I know that there is a PHP admin you can go into. And the reason we use it for is to set up new SQL databases. And to settle up in PHP admin, it's so easy because the first thing you see here is databases, and it shows you the databases. You can go in here and you can create new databases right in PHP admin. We can go to SQL, and SQL is where we can actually run different SQL statements against our actual MySQL database server. So the PHP admin is that part of it where you can go in and you can actually run different things in here. And you can go in here and actually create new tables. You can create new databases and do everything you want to do right inside of this PHP admin. It works really well. It's not really hard to use. I use it a lot of times to pull custom reports out of MySQL because what I like to do is I go in and I write my own SQL statements and you pull those custom reports. If we go to settings, this is places where you can go in and you can change your password or add a password to it if you want to have a password on it. But remember, if you do that, you have to have that password to set up any new database. So that's something to remember. Now, if you click on databases, you'll see in here where you can actually create new databases. There's no privileges. You can go to database. Is test, that's what's in there now, just a test database. You can enable statistics on your database so you can watch the different parameters of that database itself. So there's a lot of stuff you can do right inside of the actual program itself. Just get out of here. So again, all you got to do to get there is if you click on the icon in the system tray for your WAMP server, and you go up to PHP admin. So you left click and go right to PHP admin. Now, if you go into the other folders here, there's an Apache and there's modules. So there's different modules you can turn on and turn off based on if you're going to use different things. Most of the time, mine stays on default. There's also PHP. It'll give you the version 5.4.12. PHP settings. Again, these are actually like modules you can turn on, and PHP extensions are extra extensions you can turn on. There is a PHP INI. Now, I found this a few times. There was a program I was using for a while. I think it was called File Vault. What it allowed me to do was it allowed me to put a PHP program on the web server and have my users log in. When it did, it mapped them to their network storage drive, but it made it like an FTP site. So if you could kind of envision that, I know this is radio and sometimes it's tough to envision that, but it allowed them to actually go in and be able to get to that. But what I wanted to do was raise the limit of the upload limit. And it told me in the program, go to your PHP INI file, because it's a flat-based text file, and change this line or add something to that line. And all you got to do is go in there and click on it. That's why PHP INI is showing. It's the configuration file for PHP. Now we have MySQL. Look at the version. It's 5.6.12. The services, it is running. And you can go to MySQL console. When you're at MySQL console, it's going to ask for a password. It should be blank, which it is. And then it comes to a MySQL, basically just a MySQL prompt. It looks like a DOS prompt, and in all essence, it is DOS prompt, but it's a MySQL command. And if you read up on Google and watch a couple YouTube videos, you'll find on there very easily how to go in here through the command and create basic system files or MySQL tables or databases. If you type in a slash H, which I'm going to do right now, it tells you how to create stuff in here. How to clear this, connect to different databases. You can connect to a server. You can use the limiters. You can echoes. You can exit, go, help. There's all kinds of stuff in here. And you're going to have to read through there to actually learn a little bit more about it. If you type exit, it will exit you right out of it. And you'll be able to get right out of the SQL itself. So there you go. I mean, it's not hard, folks, to get through any of this stuff. The thing is, you have to be able to take your time and allow your mind to learn something new. I think that's really important. You have to learn something new. And if you do that, if you allow your mind to do that and wrap around something new, you'll be just fine. What I've learned with every operating system I've ever touched, I mean, and I've worked with, I started years ago, I probably told you before in these shows, with DOS. So many years ago. And with the DOS, you know, it was all just very flat-based, all command-driven. So you had to type something and something else happened. And then we came up with Windows 3.1 and Windows for Workgroups and all this great stuff over the years. Well, Windows 1 came out, which was disastrous, right? We all know that. And then, you know, the first servers I was touching was Windows for Workgroups, like 3.5 was some of the first servers I worked with. So anyway, what I'm basically saying is be well-rounded in the computer field. Even though we're calling this Tips from the Server Room, that's just a name, right? I want to be able to give you ideas and workings for your whole network and things you can do. Like, we're going to still talk about some wireless stuff and dig into some more wireless because this stuff is critical for you to know. If you're just a server guy and you're sitting in a room and all you do is Active Directory, then maybe you're like, oh, Jack, maybe this podcast isn't for me. You know? But if you're one of those system admins out there that you got to worry about everything from the workstations all the way through everything else, you're like, Jack, this is a pretty cool podcast, right? It's something you can use. So again, that is how you load the WAMP. It's WAMPserver.com. So check that out. I would suggest to load the newest version of Apache, which has the newest version of PHP, and it also has the newest MySQL. Be careful when you get everything running. When you go to upgrade this stuff, be careful, because sometimes I've learned that the syntax changes for MySQL. So if you have a lot of PHP scripting written and you have a lot of connectors in there to connect to the MySQL, be careful, because if the syntax changes, you can break your connections and then they just don't work anymore. Also be careful with PHP, because sometimes one PHP script may not work with another PHP version. So always be sure to check it or test it before you put it into production. I think that is so very critical. All right. So with that said, we talked about all of this. I'm going to go back here now and see where I'm at on my show notes. Let's bring my show notes back up. So we talked about all that. We talked about where you would place the web services. We talked about MyPHP and MySQL database. Now, many companies out there, we have one company we use for document storage. And for the document storage, they wrote their SQL services in such a way that we were allowed to use any kind of SQL package we wanted to. And I think that's great. When I write software, I write it towards MySQL. And the reason I do that is if you buy my software, right, I want to be able to tell you, hey, you can download MySQL for free. And I know you can use SQL Express from Microsoft, which is also free. And you can use either one of those. And there's pros and cons against both. I do like the MySQL tool boxes a lot better when you start getting into loading tools. And maybe we'll talk about that sometime. Because the backup schemes are a lot easier, I think, than what it is to do it any other way. So I just appreciate that way more, I think. But they both have their pros and cons. And there's some companies out there that all they use is Microsoft. So it may be something that you have to download or something you have to use is Microsoft SQL Express, which works fine too. Okay, so let's get on with this email message I want to talk to you about here. And actually, I copied this out of my email. So let me go back here for a second to my email and bring that back up. Okay. So actually, this is from Jonas is all I'll give you. I'll give you that much of it, Jonas. And Jonas writes, "Hi, just want to say thanks for a great show." Thank you, Jonas. I appreciate you saying that. Here's some insightful information from the trenches. He says he studies infrastructure and networks in Sweden. This month, they are focusing on PowerShell, and he's going to look up and try to help us out with some power off scripting for client computers that I wrote about and I talked about in a past show. After the summer, they're going to be able to apply for internships, and he was wondering if I had any tips that I could share with him to get a position and with the rest of the audience. You mentioned that school environments and BYOD tend to cause a lot of problems, therefore a lot of things to learn. As far as experience and versatility goes, any particular environment you would recommend. Have a nice day, and thanks again for the podcast. Well, thank you so much, Jonas, for that great email message. It's always wonderful for broadcasters to know that you're listening out there. And I can see like there's people out there listening, but it's nice to get some feedback like this. So let me see if we can clarify this. When I do my public speaking, I do talks at some local colleges when they call me up and say, Jack, can you come in and talk to our new students? And one of the talks we do is we talk about internships and where should you intern. An internship is going to either lead you into a path of righteousness and get you a good job and a good paying job, or it's going to be devastating for you and it's going to be a big waste of your time. And remember, folks, a lot of times you're paying the college for the privileges to go on this internship. It's part of your education. So with that said, when I talk to them coming from the school environment, I always talk to them and lead them towards an educational facility. Lead them to an educational facility. Either the educational facility could be either a high school setting or a K-12 setting, if you have that in your country, or it can be a higher ed. It can be a college-based setting. Both of these do bring very, very unique type situations. The first situation with that is very easily, like Jonas was saying here, was BYOD. Now, BYOD means bring your own device. And some schools are saying it means bring your own disaster. And that's because they have technologists that don't know how to handle it. And they get overwhelmed with the, 1,800 computers they have in the district already. And they just don't want any more. So they try to hold education back and try to limit their student body because they just can't deal with it. I don't live my life that way. I like as much stress and as much chaos as I can get in one day. So I just let it loose. The one thing I tell you with BYOD is just real quickly, if you're running this and you're listening to it from your school, make sure your back-end wireless is ready. Or if you're doing any rollouts, one-to-one rollouts with any of the new Chromebooks, make sure your back-end is ready. We have a local school that did a rollout, and now their Chromebooks, only three or four of them in the classroom will connect because they have home-based wireless networking gear in each of their classrooms, like a D-Link wireless router, instead of having centralized wireless, what they should have. But I would recommend any school type setting, Jonas, is what you want to look at. Be very careful. Talk to past interns, maybe going through your school now, that's already done their internships. Ask the school if you can call them up and say, hey, I heard you interned with ABCY Computer Company. What did you do there? Because we get horror stories. We get stories from some other folks because our interns talk to the other people in class naturally through message boards or whatever. And they talk about, well, I got coffee for the boss today. I got to buy my boss lunch. That's not an internship. That is using somebody, and that's just not the way we do things. Our internship, at least in our educational facilities, we make our folks a part of our working team. Once we show them the layout of the buildings, we give them logins to the servers. We give them access to our help desk system. Ticket comes in, and they are required to go out and handle that on their own. Because what this does, I get to go out and I talk to the teacher or whoever's in that room, and I get to ask them about how the student was, how did they handle themselves, were they polite to you, and all that other stuff that goes along with that. And we also get to check on the computer, make sure they did a good job. So you're right. If you're in an educational environment, you are going to see everything. As I stated, we have Windows servers. We have couple Linux servers running. We have iPads, Kindles, Android devices, Windows. We have Macs. You get everything. If you go into a business or if you go into a database, data center, you're going to learn a lot about databases. and you're going to learn a lot about servers, but then you're going to kind of be limited to your likelihood of ever finding a worthwhile employment somewhere, unless you're limiting yourself to that field. You don't want to limit yourself. You want to be, remember, well-rounded in the technology field. So I hope that helps you out, Jonas. Thanks again for the email. I do appreciate that. Hey, folks, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi, because you want to virtualize your servers. You haven't done that yet. You've been thinking about it. You're just not sure what you want to do. Take one of my online courses where I teach you from install to administration. Now, all you got to do to sign up for this course is go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Look for the online class link at the top of the page and click on that. These courses are very, if you're going to a college now, and I have some people in there actually attending colleges right now, and they're taking my courses to get a leg up on their classmates because they see that the value of those, it's a low cost based on what, you know, I've taken a lot of college courses and I've paid, one course I took was $1,200 for a weekend. And I'm charging these low prices for these courses, and you have unlimited time to take the course. There is a small quiz, and there's a little video to watch. It's very easy, and it teaches you from A to Z how to run your servers from installing to administrations. You'll be good to go. Once you complete it, I do mail you a certificate in the mail. We don't do one of these email things or you print it out yourself. I think that's lame. I mail it to you so you know you have a good quality certificate in your hands for your records. Once again, sign up for that at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Folks, I appreciate you being here. I do hope you can email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. I'd love to get your email messages in here. Let me know what you think about the Apache web server. I want to get these emails on the show. I really appreciate it. It does help me out with flowing the show here and getting movement in the podcast. Have a great work week, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday. Again, if you didn't listen to it live, join me on Spreaker.com/JacksTechCorner, or just go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com and click on the radio show at the top, and there's a chat box, and we can chat, and we can have more of an interactive-type show. I'd love to have you in there. Take care, everyone, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday on Tips from the Server Room. See you then. Bye for now. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.